Valerie Werner, who I was working with at the time, she got all upset, and she took away my aid, and I stayed homeless, and they kept my child, and they put him with my stepfather, who'd already been trying, they'd already started adoption way early in the time. But this attorney says, if you follow your service plan, and I was given a service plan December of, not this last year, but the year before, yeah, this last year. Wow, time goes fast. I was given 6 more months of services this last December, and they only gave me 4 months, and when I moved, they have to transfer that dependency to pay for me to finish the plan up in the new county with the mother, and they refused to do that. So I have done the service plan, so a lawyer has everything to stand on as far as helping me, but I'm poor. And my stepfather, he's got a lawyer. The court appointed a lawyer for my son, and he's going to be 2 in November. You know, he's not able to talk for himself. If he could have when I left, he would have said, Mommy, you know, take me home. But if a person has followed the service plan, and I did to the letter, and I have that all documented, then a lawyer has everything to stand on. I just have no access.
What was the basis for taking your son away in the first place?
Because he had 30 feet.
At the hospital? Yeah.
30 feet at the hospital?
Well, I was dressed like a hippie.
And you were living in a motorhome.
Yeah. And they're not allowed to take a child for living in a motorhome either.
They seem to do whatever they want.
That's really where it is,
yeah.
You know, because there's no one to hear.
$10,000 for adopting, for each adoption they make, they get $10,000.
I heard that the feds give them $4,000 every time that they take a child away from someone like that.
Ten.
Oh, boy. Well, that explains it, doesn't it, huh? That's why we have policy the way we have, huh?
It's an adoption thing, you know.
Yeah, it's a racket.
I have beautiful children.
You have a bunch of racketeers.
And they have a buyer, you know, my stepfather. It's a really crazy world.
Her stepfather is paid.
He's
a millionaire. He's paid money right now. He's the one that paid money to have a lawyer for her son. For a little boy. Now, he can't even talk. And they paid money to have a lawyer. He has a lawyer, his wife has a lawyer, her son has a lawyer. And that's what they're paying. He's a consultant. Mm-hmm. You know?
So the child is where now?
At an emergency foster home, one that will take care of her at least for the night.
Probably a policeman's home.
And she says she knows the people, and she says she knows they take good care of the children. I know that when my child came back from foster care in Sutter County, she was so upset that her face had dropped so badly I couldn't recognize her. You know, she was so upset.
Sure. Trauma.
That was from being a week. Yeah, it's not the police department, it's CPS.
It is. There was a lawyer on the radio just 3 days ago talking about the police department and the schools.
They're in there
together and abusing kids.
They're on it together.
So then she supported these kids, right? And they got her dismissed.
Yeah.
No more kids' lawyers. The kids don't have no lawyers. And they don't talk.
So what can we do to help you?
Come tomorrow. I'll find out if they're just going to give her right back.
I'll get a place.
So you're going to come here tomorrow at 8 a.m.?
No, I've got to get in touch with the worker at CPS who's going to be assigned. And they assured me that it won't be the same worker as my son.
Are you going to be at the shelter tomorrow, Robert?
Well, where is this
I'm
that you'll
be in my house.
Meeting?
Call me at
423.
I'll be calling them when they open up 8 or 9 o'clock, make sure everyone's in. And after that, depending on what happens, if they try and keep my child past tomorrow morning, I'm just going to have to start doing things about this because they can't have my daughter. They can't cause her that pain. You know, they can't cause me that pain either,
yeah.
You know, but my daughter came back from that last foster care and, you know, waiting for her memory to come back to her was just really a horrible thing because it took her a whole night to remember me. And I can't do that to my daughter. She knows me.
Yeah, how do you think it could be more use in this case? You want to give her your number? Or?
You can give her my number, yeah. I'm not sure how much use I would be. I don't have that.
And unfortunately, that's where the case stands right now, as far as I know, although perhaps some developments have happened by the time you're listening to this tape on the air. If you're interested in more details about this case and you want me to do a follow-up, please give me a call at 423-HUFF. And in fact, if you want a follow-up on any particular item that I have spoken about, please do give me a call and let me know that it's a matter of particular interest to you. Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, a recorded edition. On Friday, we'll be returning with the live show. If you have any comments to make, do give a call to 423-4833. And that last song was Incarceration from Morgan Firestar's album No Strings Attached. She's a local Santa Cruz singer and fighter against psychiatric oppression. We return now to more interviews at the Open Air Shelter on Thursday, November 2nd. In the midst of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's directed evacuation order demanding that everyone clear the field, that evacuation order was eventually countermanded under pressure from the campers with cooperation from some sympathetic staff members. And finally, a decision made by Paul Merceau, head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, at least the executive director of the Open Air Shelter.
And a bunch of other camp residents here.
Tis I, Hamlet the Dane.
Ah, Hamlet the Dane. And you are?
Patty Morris.
Patty, you're all camp residents here? You've been here for a while? And what do you think of this cleanup?
I think it's a long time coming. I think that, I'm not staff and I don't like, I'm not behind authority for anything, but the bottom line is, okay, look, we live here for free. We don't pay rent. They bring us our food to us. We don't have to go anywhere. What's the big deal? We've been knowing about this coming on for a month. I mean, why is it just another reason for everybody to bitch? Like I say, I'm not in with the authority or staff or anything, but come on, we've been knowing this is coming. It's like, what do we do, pay rent here? If this was private property, the landlords would have told us to get the hell out of here a long time ago. What would we have done? The sheriffs would have come, but no, we have to act all, whine about something. Why do you think people are homeless? Because they just continue to keep bitching and whining instead of getting off their ass.
You take a hardline view of the situation.
Pardon me?
You take a hardline view.
Well, not really so much hardline, but wake up and smell the dookie, man. Come on. We've known for a long time.
Well, they said that they were going to put trailers in here, and that would maybe help people, because I am homeless, and I appreciate the shelter and stuff, because I don't like being, it's hard enough. I'm a worker, and I can't even hardly, I can hold a job, but, I mean, there's a lot of assholes out there. Let's just admit it.
There would only be trailers for 44 people. You know that, right?
Well, they said that they would put like 10 trailers out here. I mean, that's true that maybe it's not going to help everybody, but at least it's some place where somebody can go when they're actually cold and come here. I mean, they feed us and
they're going to have to pay. $180 to $600
Okay. It's going to start raining again soon. It's going to be crazy. Buzzy.
Hey, Buzzy.
It's going to be crazy out here when it starts raining.
Yeah, they
said have to put their tents up again.
The shelter for the homeless, and that's what it should be. They shouldn't just all of a sudden just, okay, well, it's going to be $10 a night or $5 a night. That's lame. I mean,
well, that's the main reason they're clearing you out.
Well, I mean, we are the homeless. I mean, we should have a place to go to. I mean, what are they going to do? Just go home and go sleep at the fireplaces or something? That's stupid.
You weren't here for that video. I have 30 tents still up in the field that haven't been taken down. It'll take 2 to 3 more hours for people to finish packing. That'll be 1 o'clock. It'll take 2 or 3 hours for them to clear the field. Then it'll be 5 o'clock. Then it'll be time for us to start coming in at 6 and we'll start putting it all up again. That'll take 2 or 3 hours.
And it's all done.
And then we're going to do it all again tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we all got to sit on our stuff around here. We can't go, like I got a medical appointment at 1 o'clock. Someone's got to watch my stuff. Other people have to see about work and things. They have to sit on their belongings all day long and can't do anything to function. It's unworkable.
I think other people should come here and dedicate our time since we are homeless and help us instead of, just ignoring it.
Thank you.
We aren't bad people. Ourselves, though. I mean, we have to help ourselves, too. It's not just them helping. If they see we're helping ourselves, maybe they'll be more willing to come down here and help us more.
We help ourselves every day.
Yes, we do. But they...
I'm talking to Ron, who's... you're the assistant director of the program? Or
director of operations.
Director of operations. Has the armory been, have you been given a dispensation to open the armory on a weather contingent basis?
We're meeting with the people, Nancy Carr Gordon, Judy Schwartz, myself, Louis Bedford, Paul Marceau, on Friday at 10:30 a.m. to discuss the opening of the armory on a contingency basis, weather related.
Right.
Hopefully it will become available to us by this weekend, on Sunday.
And you received word from the governor's office that's a possibility, or?
That came from our county offices who had been in touch with Sacramento.
So they are.
Ron told us the next day when we returned that the armory had been opened on a weather contingent basis, but the question of exactly when people would be given access to it and at the same time denied access to the field would depend on when they could get the armory for blocks of time, like 3 days or 7 days, and they were still discussing that. But the threat of closing down the shelter with the armory open, closing down the shelter, that is to say the open-air shelter during the day, remained, and indeed seemed to grow more intense in terms of the fact that now there is the armory open on a weather-contingent basis. And presumably, Citizens Committee for the Homeless can do exactly what they did before, order everybody off the field again, unless they've reached some kind of agreement with those people on the field. At one point, Ron, the operations manager, told me he had secured an understanding, as I understand it, that there would not be any such movement until December 1st. But then it became unclear, because it would also be possible to move people off when people were taken to the armory. So, at the present time, the situation is ambiguous. I've been waiting for a call from Paul Marceau, who is his boss and the executive director of the open-air shelter to get a clear answer to this. As of yet, no call has come back. With the November 2nd interviews, and this is a very significant debate because it led to Ron's decision to press for the stopping of the clearing of the campground area on Thursday and allowing the tents to remain up, and in fact telling people they could come back and set up their tents again during the day.
It's a possibility.
I see. So it's not necessarily going to happen.
It's not written in stone.
I see.
Okay. I'm certainly hoping it is because these people need a place to be.
Right.
And we don't need these confrontational situations. We're willing to meet everyone halfway, but they've got to be willing to make some concessions as well. So far in the past, it seems that it's always been the organization that has made the concessions and not the people that were utilizing our services. If there's some way that we can find some middle ground, I would be one of the happiest people on this side of the planet.
Well, Ron,
you got any ideas, Robert?
I've got all kinds of ideas, always. But let me convey to you some of the concerns I've heard. I've been interviewing people here. Mm-hmm. One has been the threat that they'll be arrested if they don't leave the property by 10 o'clock. And some people are concerned that they don't have any place to put their stuff while they're gone, any secure place, so that they can't really leave their stuff behind without essentially dumping it somewhere, getting rid of it. Now, another concern I've heard is that while there are some sites that are very messy and need to be cleaned up, this doesn't apply to everybody's site or even necessarily to the majority of people's sites.
Take a look around, Robert.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done, yes, this is correct. But there are going to be some people around here that will be willing to help, I'm sure. And if necessary, I'll even volunteer my time, okay? I don't work here. I've only been here for a short time, all right? I didn't know any of this was going on. I'd attended one meeting. Bill. I'd attended one meeting, okay, and that whole meeting, really nothing was done, or at least not to our knowledge or mine, okay? I've been out on the streets for 12 years. I'm 27 years old, and I don't need to be out here anymore. I have a career that I can do, but without, you know, they were letting me work in the Bay. Well, that was great, you know, but they can't do it anymore. So now, again, I mean, now I'm without work. Trying to find a place to stay again is going to be harder than anything because I haven't been in Santa Cruz for a long time. This was a very convenient place.
Can I ask you two questions, Bill?
Sure.
Where are you coming from?
Where am I coming from? Boston, Massachusetts.
And how did you happen to find out about our particular facility here? Was it word of mouth on the street?
Yeah, word of mouth.
Had you heard about it previously?
I had no idea of this place. You know, we were trying to start something like this 10 years ago when I was here, okay? Because I remember when the streets of Santa Cruz were filled, every crack and crevice in this town had people in it. I was one of them, all right? And back then, we wanted to do this. Because if they figure, if we can get all the homeless people together, then at least there's less of a problem, and maybe then the ones that do want to do something about their lives will.
Yeah, but in
all
reality...
Right.
And then, unfortunately, though, there's the
your
people that
is.
Just...
My real name?
No, any name you want.
I go by Squirrel right now. Yeah. I'll tell you my real name if it's really terribly important.
No, no,
but,
no. Squirrel is fine.
But what pisses me off is because I've been here on the street for 5 years, and I've been fighting for this place, and finally it's starting to get to be a nice place, and then these people that come through, and they're not even going to stay. They just leave all their trash behind and steal everything they can get, and then we're stuck here behind to dealing with their bullshit and having people mad at us because we talked to them and we got ripped off by them
right.
too. But then their heat comes down on us and me and other people because we made the mistake of associating with these bastards. And
right,
I'm not going to name names right now because it'll just get me into more trouble. I'll just name names to my friends and have them deal with it.
Well, the question
you
know, that I guess that I'm trying to find out from Ron here is, why the extensive cleanup if there's no guarantee of an armory shelter anyway? Why not allow the campground to continue with a kind of a selective cleanup where people who are creating a problem are told, hey, this is a problem area, but everybody else is not forced to vacate. That seems like a massive kind of cleansing operation, or at least for the day. People don't have any place to go and so forth.
Well, then once again, they put the ball back in our court to make us responsible. Why isn't there any, peer pressure out here, the people that are willing to clean up and take part and abide by the rules that we've set down, and they're not very stringent rules. with the people who are the problems. Why does it always come back to us? It's like, we don't want to be responsible for ourselves. You're supposed to be responsible for us.
Well, you know, then they get mad at me because they can't handle their shit together.
Certainly,
you know?
That, you know, people here should be responsible for themselves, but I must say, for a campground of more than 200 people, you've had surprisingly great success throughout the summer. Very few incidents of violence.
As far as incidents concerned, it has been one of the quietest summers they've ever had here.
This is a unique spot, as I keep pointing out. There's no other campground like this in California that I'm aware of.
There isn't one in the country.
No, there isn't.
Right. And so, I mean, that's why I am really concerned to see this campground continue, and shocked that the Citizens Committee wants to dump a bunch of trailers in here and send the campground west, hoping that somebody else will take care of it, and assuming that the City Council will find a place for it, which, frankly, I don't know that they will. I see no clear indication that they will. So that's my concern.
Well, I'm not going to mention names, but I just came from the city chambers, and I mean not a half an hour ago.
Right.
And members on the council and people within the city government see this as a Frankensteinian experiment that has gone terribly awry, and I really don't foresee a positive future for this happening again.
Really?
I wonder how fast they'll be able to bring in more foreigners before they'll help their own homeless. You know, this really upsets me because, I mean, as an individual myself, I see more foreigners having jobs than our homeless people, all right? You wonder why these people turn to drugs and everything else that they do. It's because now they figure they've been given up on. They've been given up on. So why should they bother keep trying if there's not going to be anyone there who's going to do anything, you know, to help them change their situation and get away from the drugs?
Right, but right now we have is a campground that has served 200 people. That's yeah, you probably have this new one coming out.
It's probably saved 200 people.
And it seems to be allowing some people, at least I talked to the fellow over there in the tent for 10, to begin to rebuild his life. Now people will no longer have a place to stay during the day. Do I understand, Ron, this is going to happen every day? People have to have their stuff off the property every day? Or do we know what
it is? To be, quote unquote, an emergency overnight shelter. They'll be allowed to use the facility after the evening meal is served, and then they have to remove their belongings in the morning. Obviously, this isn't happening. And I wish there were some immediate sort of solution that was a win-win situation for everyone. Give me some input, Robert. What have you done differently?
Here are the campers. What do you think, Ann? You've been here for a while. Is there a solution other than insisting people be off? Do I understand you correctly that they will not be allowed here during the day and in the days to come, only at night?
That is my understanding, but I'm flexible.
Okay. So here's a man who's flexible. What would you propose as a solution?
I don't know. I think if they keep their area clean, you know, keep it straightened up, they should be able to stay. I mean, a lot of people back here are sick, and that was, I mean, originally we had to have a note to keep our tent up and stuff during the day for rest and staying out of the, well, there's no sunlight out here today, but staying out of the weather and out of the elements and stuff. And a lot of us were doing that. And there are a lot of us out here to pick up after ourselves, and the few that don't, they just keep piling shit in their tent. And those are the ones that make everything go wrong. Not necessarily wrong,
but
it's like...
stuff in my tent, but I take away my garbage.
Right. I mean, there's garbage cans put around, but the garbage cans get piled up. I mean...
So what do you suggest that Ron do in order to keep the camp open during the day?
You can keep that if you want. I think you should. But I have proof that I was here in 93 fighting for this place, but I got scared out because people were kicking the shit out of me because I'm here trying to make this place work, and then they don't want to help. They just want to take whatever they can and then spit it in your face, you know?
But this year, things have been better?
It's a hell of a lot better than it used to be.
Right.
But then people come by, they're not going to stay here. They're just going to take whatever they can and then spit in your eye and expect you to be grateful, you know? Fuck that.
I guess
you something that will last here.
I guess one proposal is then that...
Can I interject?
Sure.
Just a moment. This is an uncontracted... Basically, the city's just looking the other way. Last year, we had a contract with the city.
Do you have no permit this year?
No. We don't. And I don't know if everyone was aware of that. So the city is cooperating in
that respect. She wasn't sure.
They are basically just turning their eyes. What we had in our contract previously
was that we could serve 75 people on a nightly basis, 100 people in an emergency situation. Now we're dealing with almost twice that number with the same level of staffing that we had in the past, and we can't maintain the type of, and I hate to use this word, control or support services that we had with half the number of people, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
And then I tried to get on the staff.
It's a logistics problem.
Because I'm kind of...
Our funding hasn't increased. Our staffing hasn't increased.
What about the...
But the problem has.
So you did get an emergency donation from the Above the Line Community Consortium at the beginning of the summer. How did that help sufficiently?
I don't know if that's become a reality as yet. They've had trouble getting their funding together. So I can't...
They cast over $25,000 to you in April or something like that.
I didn't see the check, but that doesn't mean that it didn't get passed over.
I was told that that could be wrong, too.
Work on paper, otherwise I'll never listen.
So I guess you have spoken to city officials yourself, and they have specifically told you that they're the ones from whom the pressure is coming. I mean, unfortunately, in the past, Citizens Committee for the Homeless has a tendency to try to blame on the city and police what it does for its own reasons. For example, in 1991, they cleared homeless people off this field to establish community house, so-called, because they said they were going to build it. And of course, it's 1995. There is no community house. They just moved everybody off the field. The claim that the city police are interested in, or the city officials are interested in getting rid of this place, I'd like to hear more about that. I mean, if you actually, are you persuaded that's
true? I'm probably going to make no more friends by making this statement.
Go ahead.
But,
be fearless.
Be fair.
Yeah.
After speaking with the SCPD, they flat out told me, and I have to agree with the position, that they would rather not issue citations for trespass because of the position that we had through the summer, that it was acceptable, and now suddenly it's not acceptable. There isn't a judge in this county that is going to accept that sort of citation, and I have to agree with it. Even though I'm director, I mean, I don't have many friends out here because I've done some unpopular things this summer, but we have to have some sort of rules and structure. Otherwise, and in the 60s, I wasn't against anarchy. I'm still not against anarchy. But if you have 200 people doing exactly what they want, then you can't feel that the entire community, as a community, has a sense of safety or continuity.
How can this field be open during the day so that people don't have to be afraid every day that their tents will be, they'll be told to move or face the threat of a ticket of some sort, or harassment from staff or something like that? What do you need?
The reason I went downtown to talk to the city was to see if I could coerce some of them into coming over to our side. Now, I say our, even though most of these people out here don't consider me to be one of them, even though I'm homeless myself. To see if, look, there's only a month left, 28 short days, and the days are getting shorter.
Yes.
The nights are getting colder. It's going to rain.
Right.
We've let it go this long. Why can't we just continue on until the Army becomes available to us on a permanent basis through the winter?
That's what Paul Marceau told me was the intention, I understood. Until Ann called me this morning and said, they're forcing everybody's tent down. So I'm wondering, what made that change?
It's a spot on a calendar, and that's all it is. We transitioned from an official summer program to an official winter program. What we're trying to do is institute the type of schedule that the folks that utilize the Armory will have to get into to use the Armory.
So the idea is that these people are so childlike that they need a month's worth of training and a schedule.
Conditioning? We haven't been able to do it in 6 months,
right,
Robert.
So I think it's ridiculous. You and I both agree on that one. The idea that people should be inconvenienced, well, not inconvenienced, how can people retain their property if they have to move it during the day and the Armory isn't even open? I mean,
correct.
It seems preposterous to
mostly repeat the old.
How can we be responsible for people's personal belongings when the Armory opens? We're not going to be able to be responsible.
Perhaps that bridge should be crossed when you come to it. I mean, people who are outside live on a day-to-day basis anyway.
If you wait
anyway.
For a crisis to occur, then you're not prepared to
aren't
deal with it.
Aren't you creating a crisis by doing this right now? That's the question. Unnecessarily.
We were hoping that there would be a greater deal of cooperation.
Right.
And the realization that this program is coming to an end. We don't know if there's going to be a future.
What?
Look at the Northern California situation. They've lost use of many of their facilities. And with the people that I've spoken to, it's generally because of the actions of the people who participated in the programs or funding.
Well, I think it has to do, to some extent, with the prejudices of the people who are in power as well. I mean, I haven't lived out here.
I'm obviously not in power, Robert.
Right.
Who's in control out here?
Well, right now the people are in control. The people are telling everybody to move their tents or their police are going to arrest them. That's what I've...
That's not going to happen.
But people believe it's going to happen, and many people have left the field for that reason. They're afraid it's going to happen. They've been told by staff it's going to happen.
Yes, I've been told by several people, hey, you know, if you don't move your stuff, you're probably going to lose it or you're going to get ticketed and lose it. I mean, that's a scary thought. I have a question.
What did you do with your gear before you got here?
What did I do with my gear before I got here?
Right.
Well, for the most part, I had to do the same thing I'm doing today. I had to tear it down and move it on. I didn't even have a tent, so it was a lot easier. Now I've got a home, or at least a shelter, over my head every night, and I have to tear it down. It's an 8x10. That's a considerably large tent. I'm 6'4" man, so I have to have that anyway.
I'm 6'4" myself, so right. I can sympathize.
Right. And for me to tear that down and put that back up on a daily basis is really simply ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
You know, if I could have an established place, I would love to do it. And I know I'd keep my area clean because I don't like living in a pigsty.
Yeah.
I've left more women because they were messy and lost my children because of it.
You know, in Santa Cruz, there's a shelter emergency, which means that the city council declared that in 1990, that there was an emergency situation where they know that there's not legal areas for people to sleep or people who need to sleep at night. So here's a legal area to sleep.
Quasi-legal.
Right. Quasi-legal. It's not being, it's tolerated, certainly. Let's put it that way. And a community has developed here, too. That, see, some people think, and I wonder whether this attempt to eliminate people here during the day isn't an attempt essentially to destroy the community so they can be atomized into the armory and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's plans with trailers can roll right ahead. I mean, you may have heard from the city officials that they don't want the campground. I've heard from three city council members they do want the campground, but they want it somewhere else, quote unquote. Somewhere else is fine if you can find somewhere else, but they haven't found somewhere else.
And has anyone looked yet?
Yeah, well, they got three sites they're looking at right now, but they're smaller sites and they're neighborhood problems. This site took years to develop. People came here and they stayed here. That's one of the reasons that it became the campground it is.
Yeah.
You know, because the people decided to stay here. And finally, the police department decided, as you pointed out, that it was a reasonable place. Karen Gillette and police chief worked out that deal in 1991. It became official in 1994, and at least it was tolerated here in 1995. Now the Citizens Committee, for its own reasons, is going to throw in trailers here and remove the entire campground. And it seems to me that this whole process of moving people out early when there's no reason for it, I mean, a cleanup can be accomplished without everybody's moving out, it would seem to me.
Yeah.
I've seen more individuals that just would just say, okay, well, we can just conveniently leave this here, and they do it. Then it does pile up.
You can leave a notice on a person's tent, clean this up within 48 hours, or it'll be removed.
Well, actually, I would give him less than 48 hours because that 48 hours would give you.
But to tell everybody to move off the lot smacks to me of we're trying to get you people ready to be aware of the fact that we're eliminating this campground.
Right, and that you will just be.
You know, because if they don't, people might get together and organize and say, hey, we don't want this campground eliminated. We're going to stay here, goddammit. Which is what I did.
That's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to get people together and say, they want to segregate us into a community, okay? Now we have our own little community. The only way we're going to be able to keep it is if we do keep these certain rules and work together to keep them.
If people can't handle the rules and they want to yell at you because they don't want to follow the rules, well, hey, they can...
You guys haven't had a chance
to
say anything. Do you want to say anything for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Not right now, probably later.
Okay, did you?
Okay.
And you wanted to say something.
Well, I was going to say, I agree with him. We should stay, also with you, we should stay here and help the people here. You know, they need our help. Everybody is a family here, I can tell. I've been here for just 2 days, and I like it, and I like what he's trying to do for us, you know. I'm sure he's trying to do whatever he can. you know, but I like it here, and I'm planning to stay here and help people here, you know.
Words that I don't get many of.
There you go. You know, I want to help.
Ron, I understand that, Ron, you're not the bad guy, okay? I understand also that you are trying to work with us, and that there are individuals here that don't particularly care for you. That's their problem, okay? If they don't want to understand and try to share in your concept of what you're trying to do, they're wrong, okay? And if you're doing something that you know is right and it has to be done, they should just leave you alone and back off and, you know, try to get the grip of, hey, Ron is trying to help us keep this place together, and if we don't work with them, throw them out. Tell them they have to leave. 86 them. Tell them when you're ready to work as part of a team, this is a team effort. If you don't work as a team, fine. You're not a member.
Well, it also may be that, I mean, rather than having to be a part of the team, it may be sufficient at least not to make a mess. I mean, you don't have to be a part of the cheering section to interfere with what other people are doing.
That's right.
But, so
you have a staff here. Is that true?
They're hard workers, too.
We have to recruit more people that care about where we stay, you know?
Well, I think the issue right now, and I'm wondering about this, is in the days to come, tomorrow and the next day and the next day, are you saying, Ron, that right now you're open to suggestion as to how to deal with the campground during the day? Or has that been decided?
In a lot of sense, I would say that's true.
Okay.
Capitulation is not the answer. Cooperation is.
Yeah.
And if we could get a greater degree of cooperation as far as cleaning up an organization is concerned, I'd be happier than a pig in you know what. Mm-hmm. And I'd be willing to be even more flexible and front to the officials for the folks out here. I have in the past.
Right.
Look with the dog issues, various other crises that have come down that you've become aware of over the summer that we've been able to eliminate through compromise.
Right.
But you can't have an in-your-face attitude and expect to get an amicable agreement.
See, it seems strange to me that, I mean, I agree with you there certainly, but my understanding is that when these problems came up, keeping the tents up during the day and so forth, that there was ways of working this out, that people expressed their feelings, they came to you, and then their changes were made as a consequence, that I understand you were flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, and I've been talking to Paul Marceau like every twice a week for the radio show
I've spoken to you myself.
And I've even spoken to you on the phone, yes. I'm told, well, first there's going to be a cleanup November 2nd, and that's called off because of, well, I was told it was called up because the armory had not been determined. That's what Paul told me. He said, there will be no cleanup this week, is what he told me, because the armory is not going to be open until the 1st, as far as we know.
By cleanup, what was intended was not a cleanup, but a clean out. That is, say, forcing everybody to leave, essentially to eliminate much of their stuff, to do, in fact, what was happening that day as the six or seven of us were talking on the campground. That is, say, Paul Marceau had said that there would be no eviction of people during the day until the armory had opened. Now that position had changed. Why that position changed? This was the nature of our conversation. We tried to get to the bottom of it. And at what Ron said was, it was simply a date on a calendar. That is to say, the higher echelons of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless had simply decided to go ahead anyway, without rhyme or reason, and drive everybody off the lot. Until Ron and Paul and the staff got together and decided that that was not a good idea, having heard from the people using the lot, using the campground, the kind of grief it was causing them.
Along the way. But since it's worked along the way, it seems to me that this is suddenly just sort of an arbitrary move. It's not like suddenly 73 people deposited a pile of feces in the middle of the campground. It's just suddenly, wham, everybody's being kicked out right now on this day. You're saying it's a calendar date, and it was done because it was probably scheduled before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I mean, to me, that's not a good reason to move a bunch of people off the property and make them lose half their stuff. See, I mean, that's the bottom line. I understand you have a problem, and you need more people cooperating and so forth, but the campground has worked remarkably well, I think. I mean, that's my impression. I mean,
it's been here for 5 years. What is the total amount of days this place has been established?
Days? Well, since 19...
Well, if you want to count it...
There were people here in 1988, but
officially, 91, wasn't it?
Officially, it was 93, 94.
94, right. Well, that was the first time the city actually gave us a contract.
That was the first year.
What was the basis for not continuing the contract? See, like I said, unfortunately, I'm not apprised to the complete situation. Otherwise, I'd probably be more involved.
So the city has not given us a contract for this year, right?
That's right.
And so this is, was this sort of a hush-hush thing? Nobody's mentioned it? It's one of those... Because nobody's mentioned this to me.
There's nothing that I can say here, Robert, that is going to be... So I'm just going to refuse a comment.
Okay. It sounds like you're put in a difficult position here, Ron. So,
I'm in the proverbial rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the Citizens Committee is doing its usual kind of number here. They avoid public information.
I can't say anything detrimental about them either, because they have done a hell of a lot of good for the people in the past. There have been issues that maybe they vacillated on, but on the whole, this place wouldn't even exist at this point in time if it hadn't been for the efforts of some of those people.
There's some truth in that, although some would say it would have existed a lot sooner if they hadn't obstructed it at different places along the line. They bought this property not for this campground. They bought this property for their other project purposes, and the campground developed here because the people developed the campground. That's the way I understand it.
I'm probably going to lose my job.
Yes.
Over what I'm going to say right now.
Okay.
But I feel strongly enough about it.
Sure.
That I'm going to say it. First of all, the name of the organization that owns this property is the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. This is private property, and it's the citizens that do own the property, on the committee, that have allowed us the use of this property. Now, I can't, in all fairness, say that by allowing people to continue to camp here is going to change the concept of what the committee wants to do here as far as transitional housing is concerned, but I don't see where it could hinder it that much either.
No, I don't either. And frankly, even though you are quite correct, this is Citizens Committee for the Homeless property. This property was bought with homeless money in 1987 from the city. Originally,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, it was originally purchased from the University of California. This piece of property and the River Street shelter, which is right over there, it was split in half, and the Citizens Committee purchased this property with a proviso in the lease, which I read 2 days ago, which said that this would only be used for low income, very low income was the word, very low income, and homeless uses. So it's not really how wonderful the Citizens Committee is by letting these people know. The Citizens Committee is using homeless people here in order to maintain control of this property by claiming to work for homeless purposes, and indeed, in some cases, working for homeless purposes.
But they need to actually work for them.
Well, what they're doing now is...
But aren't we citizens too?
Yeah, you're citizens too.
But, you basically feel that they're working across purposes here then.
Well, I've been at odds with the Citizens Committee's decisions on a number of points. The idea of turning this place into community house rather than seeking another site, I regard this as outrageous because it destroys...
There's a message number here, so
all right.
If you want it...
Thank you. It destroys the only homeless... Thank you, Squirrel. It destroys the only homeless... I hope you continue to fight for it. The only homeless campground...
This is my home.
As you and you are aware of anywhere in this country, or maybe there's another one, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm aware of
it. To my knowledge, this country.
I mean, it's available. The Citizens Committee should be defending it, not trying to dislodge it.
Right on.
And that is what they're doing.
Well, they're kind enough to open the place to begin with.
They weren't kind. They're using it as an investment. I mean, I don't think they're kind.
Well, then that's an awful investment to kind of make is in the homeless people, you know?
It's a very convenient one because there's federal money and state money you can grab.
State money and federal money and all that shit and start building the houses that we need.
Right, well,
and then, make us work for them. Of course, in one way or another. There's so many trained people out here. I've got people out here, all right? I'm a tattooist.
Let me kind of draw us back to what the real issue is. How can this place be kept open so that Ron's concerns can be met, so that the people's concerns here can be met?
And the conversation continued, and Ron was persuaded to go back into a meeting with Paul Meursault that happened shortly afterward. He emerged from that meeting and announced that the campground was reopened and would remain open until the Armory winter shelter was secured, open during the day. People would not have to take their tents away. Those who had already lost their property lost it, and indeed more property was lost the next day, as we found out in interviews today, which I unfortunately don't have time to play you. You're listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the last few moments. I'm away in Northern California. I will be back on Friday. Please tune in at 10 o'clock. If you want to be on the air, show up at 9:45 at Taco Bell at Pacific and Laurel Streets, or give me a call at 423-HUFF. I appreciate your tuning in. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I will hopefully be playing you more interviews. We will have more activity, and do contact the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and tell them don't close the campground. The number to call is Daryl Darling at 458-1958. 458-1958. Run, do not walk, to your local payphone, or if you're lucky enough to have a phone at home, call them now. Tell them no. Keep that campground open. 200 people are a better and a more important investment than 44.
Yes, I lost you when the walls closed in. And it took away the pain of living. I'm ready to admit they win. Offering therapy, giving shelter. Shelter from fear.